Chapter 11. The Legion dispersed, scattering company by company to their ships across the fleet. Bodies were identified, gene seed harvested, and war gear stripped and sent to armories for salvage or repair. Those assigned to the Conqueror saw to Angron, dragging him back to the depths of his hall under Khan's watchful eye. Angron's outburst had paralyzed the World Eaters. While Garlen Serlak and Vel Keredar laboured over his unconscious form, seeking to repair the damage to his implants and thus glean more knowledge for their own experiments in replicating them, the Legion waited, unsure of what to do next as they licked their wounds. Genner turned in silence beneath the fleet. Orbital surveillance picts recorded the population as it went out across the surface, gathering up their slaughtered kin and taking them back within their cities. Hour by hour, they steadily returned their world to an image of uncanny normalcy, with any sign that there had been an invasion melting away. Majo walked the corridors of the Hound's Tooth. The hours since the triumphal hall had been a gauntlet as he took stock of the 18th and the losses they had suffered. Entire squads were gone, lost either to the surface conflict or to Angron. Others had to be collapsed and folded into one another, and decisions needed to be made as to who would lead them. More often than not, the question of leadership was being decided in the pits. Normally, Majo would have forbidden such means, especially as the Legion was still on an active war footing. But in light of recent events, he relented. His brothers needed the grounded calm that dueling could bring, an outlet to exorcise their frustration and rage. Warriors would need to forge new bonds and have trust in the prowess of their leaders, and bleeding together in the pits was a better way to accomplish this than most. "Hail, Centurion!" said Orontes, emerging into the corridor to walk by Majo's side.
"My first axe." Majo dipped his head.
"How's our brother? Has his condition changed since I left?"
"He remains catatonic," Orontes answered. "They still have him under observation in the tertiary apothecarium, closed off from the rest of the ship in case... well..." In their sealed armour, the World Eaters were able to walk across a ragged wound in the strike cruiser's side, where Ayakari's experimentation with the butcher's nails had ended as a crater blasted open to the void the size of a warhound titan. The entire secondary apothecarium was gone, and portions of 9 decks had needed to be sealed off after they, and everyone within them at the time of the explosion, had been vented out into the void. The magnetized plates in their boots anchored them to the deck in a stiff, plodding gait. Tethered construction servitors and repair crew in thick rubberized suits hurried about in the vacuum, cutting away the remnants of slagged armor plating and installing the support lattices that would hold up the new armor and hull plates to cover the damage.
"I never should have allowed Ayakari to do it here," grumbled Majo,
as he watched twisted pieces of the Hound's Tooth spin away as discarded wreckage.
"It wasn't enough that the fool had to be from my own ranks, but he had to blow a damn hole in my ship, too."
Orontes caught a chip of ablative ceramite hanging in the void. He turned it in his hand, brushing away the veil of ice crystals clinging to it with his thumb. It still bore the clean white lacquer of the Legion, though scoured and blackened by unnatural fire.
"It was right to have it done here, even after all that had happened. Ayakari was unbroken. His loyalty to the Legion and the Primarch's vision did not fail. Only the machine they created for him did."
Majo glanced at his brother. One way or another, every warrior in the Legion idolized Angron, in spite of everything, but few more so than his first axe.
"You still want us to take the nails, don't you?"
"Of course," Orontes replied at once. The champion had been one of the most outspoken proponents within the 18th of replicating the ways of the Primarch. He argued fiercely in favour of the implantation of the butcher's nails across the Legion, despite the objections of Majo and others within the 12th.
"Brother,"
Orontes stopped. Majo turned back, his boots clunking with magnetic fusion as he stood with his champion in the vacuum.
"Back on the surface," said Orontes, speaking slowly as he considered each word. "On Genna. You chose to reinforce the 44th instead of pushing on. Nobility demanded it of you, your sense of sentiment. But if we had possessed the nails, I know we would not have wavered. If we had been like our father, there is no doubt in my mind that the Legion would have achieved victory. If the Primarch had been there, he never would have stopped. Hesitation, nobility, sentiment, Angron has none of these. These are the things that are becoming like a sheath around us, smothering a blade that has grown desperate to cast it off. How can you not see that?"
Majo did not answer Orontes straight away. He was not blind to his champion's feelings, for they were becoming the predominant thought in the Legion with each passing day. The defeats, the executions, the shame cast upon them all by Angron, all were torturing the World Eaters. Shame was driving them towards a future that none of them fully understood. The 12th was changing. No matter how tightly Majo held to the ways of the Warhounds, no matter how much he wished, he could not hold back the tide forever. But as long as he could hold it, Majo would.
"It seems," said Majo, "that you will have to be patient before you can have the nails pounding madness through your brain, my brother."
Orontes shrugged, releasing the armor fragment to slowly drift beyond his reach.
"Soon enough."
The two World Eaters slipped back within the pressurized innards of the Hound's Tooth via a secondary airlock, stooping to make passage through the low circular hatchway. Orontes removed his helm after the bulkhead sealed and repressurized, running a hand over his broad, scarred features.
"I hope you come to understand the path that is laid before us, brother."
He laid a hand on Major's shoulder.
"History never remembers those who hold tight to the past, only those who moved us forward. Angron will wake. And then what will he do? What will you do?"
Major made to answer him when his voxbeed chimed. He paused, waving Orontes away and watching his first axe vanish down the corridor as a familiar voice crackled in his ear.
"I'm aboard. Come, I will meet you in the pits."
Khan was waiting for Majo as he arrived in the dueling pits, standing just inside, watching a pair of Unbroken as they finished their contest. Majo heard their roars of exuberance from the corridor, and the scent of fresh blood filled his nose as the doorway rumbled aside. Two World Eaters were in the pit, their bare flesh bleeding and sheened with sweat. Majo saw weapons forgotten on the sand, their edges bloody. The two Space Marines shouted wordlessly back and forth, ramming their heads together like tribal primitives. Majo did not recognize two of his vaunted Unbroken, for to him they looked like nothing more than Deathworld savages.
"What foolishness is this?"
Majo snapped.
"We remain on an active war footing, lest you forget. You, return to your squad. And you,"
he pointed to the other World Eater,
"get to the Apothecarian now."
The first warrior saluted, a fist thudding against his heart. The other simply stiffened his posture, not saluting because his right arm ended at the elbow. They held for a moment before passing the pair of centurions and leaving the pits. Khan knelt in the sand, brushing his fingers over the dappling of blood that pooled black in the low light. He lifted the severed arm from the ground, turning it over as he inspected it. After a moment, he tossed it beyond the boundary of the pit, to be gathered up and dealt with by a maintenance servitor. Khan strode over to a weapons rack as Majo approached, pacing to limber up as he took a training axe in each fist.
"I was beginning to think you'd had enough for one day. I wanted to ensure there were no complications as Tethys was installed,"
Majo replied, eyeing his brother as he made sweeping cuts with the axes. In truth, he was grateful for the distraction from the events down on Genna and then in the Triumphal Hall. Like any of his brothers, Majo had always been closest to a state of serenity when he had a blade in his hand and an opponent standing across from him.
I wanted to ensure that his condition was stabilized and contained.
Any more of your librarians explode, and you won't have any ship left.
Careful now.
Majo pulled his tunic over his head and tossed it to a waiting serf as he stepped onto the sand.
Or I'll set Orontes on you.
Khan chuckled.
I like Orontes. Were you there when he took Centurion Caeptra to Third Blood?
The Red. I was there. How do you think he became my first axe?
Maybe I should duel him instead, said Khan.
He threw one of the axes to Majo.
If all you intend to do is talk.
Majo smiled as he caught the axe and spun it to loosen his wrists.
Well, then come, Eater of Worlds, and match words with deeds.
The two warriors circled barefoot in the sand. Absent was the sullen stoicism of the first, or the preening dance of the third. The world-eaters dueled because in their hearts they knew that nothing forged a stronger bond of brotherhood than fighting. There was no need for pageantry, and no reason to hold back. Rank was disregarded, and all that mattered was the weapons in their hands and who struck first.
First blood,
said Majo, twisting his neck to relieve a kink with a soft crack.
Tired, Majo?
Khan lunged, attacking Major with a series of lightning-fast strikes. Their axes clashed in ringing clangs of conflicting steel as Major countered, leaning into the blows and refusing to back down and surrender the initiative. Leaping out of reach of each other's strikes, the two brothers broke away and resumed circling.
You crossed the line today, said Khan. Had I not been there myself, I would not have believed you survived speaking to the Primarch that way. I survived, said Major. But many did not.
Khan gave a slight shrug.
You cannot hold yourself to account for what happened. A Centurion bears the weight of the lives lost under his command, and that is enough for any soul. Even if some might choose to lay those Angron killed today at your feet.
It had to be said, Khan.
Major stopped.
The countdowns, the decimations. It cannot go on. We will grind ourselves away to nothing out here, and more of us will end up dying to sate Angron than on the field of battle. The Legion is changing, said Khan.
He lunged, crashing into Major's guard with an overhead chop. They broke off again in a shriek of metal, measuring each other in the sand.
Can't you feel it? All of us can, replied Major. The question is it changing for the better? Is he changing it for the better?
He, said Khan coldly, is our Primarch, and we are his sons. We live and die by his whim. He does not owe us anything, Major.
Major stopped at that.
You're talking about the nails, aren't you?
Khan came to a halt across from him.
They are inevitable, brother.
I have a hole in my ship that begs to differ with you, Khan.
Maybe so.
The captain of the Eighth flashed a tired grin.
But every day Solek and Vel'Keradar get closer to replicating a construction stable enough to be hammered into the Legion. And when that day comes, they will be.
I cannot see how the Legion would accept them.
Majo shook his head.
Not after witnessing what they do to Angron. Not after today.
Khan tossed his axe idly between his hands.
Not all see it as you do. Remember that we are weapons, Major. Most in the Legion do not look past the blade in their fists. They watch our father, the way he fights. You've seen him. He's a storm, unbeatable, no matter what is standing against him. He just does not lose. Tell me you believe none of our kin would seek that strength for themselves, and I will call you a liar.
The brothers jumped at each other, the axes splitting the air as each sought to dodge rather than block. They weaved around each other, with blows sliding just shy of opening flesh and drawing first blood.
But strength at what cost?
Majo leaned back to overextend Khan and hammered a foot into the equerry's chest, sending him sprawling.
I've seen him turn the tide of every battle we have fought with him. That is undeniable. But I've also seen him before those battles and after them. The crazed months during transit, the screaming that comes from his sanctum, the swathes of crew that go missing whenever he walks the Conqueror's lower decks.
Majo loomed over Khan as he rose to a crouch.
If you are asking me to deny that an entire legion infused with the nails would be the most potent force in the known galaxy, I will not. But if that is to be our future, Khan, see all of it. A future with each of us in chains, senseless with rage, no longer deployed into battle, but loosed into it.
Khan coughed, looking up at Majo.
Have you considered that perhaps it would be better that way?
What?
Asked Majo.
How can you wish such a thing upon us?
Khan rose, considering his next words.
The planet beneath us. When you look at it, what do you see?
Majo scoffed.
Still, after all these years, you lecture me as though a child.
And it would be a simple task for me to change, provided you cease to act as though you are one,
Khan pressed.
Tell me, what do you see?
Majo lowered his axe, looking at the far wall of the chamber as though it were a window to the planet they now orbited.
I see a world and an estranged humanity that it is our duty to return to the fold.
No.
Khan shook his head slowly.
That is not what it is. What we have found is a fetid, rotting forest. A withered canopy that smothers the soil and drowns out all light. Choking vines strangle new growth. We are the fire that burns this forest to the ground. One that raises it utterly and without compunction. Because, brother, ash is the most fertile foundation for the future to spring from.
Majo made to respond, but Khan raised a hand and closed the distance between them.
Answer me this. If the Legion took the nails, every one of us, what would it truly change, Majo? Would it alter our mandate to conquer the galaxy? Would it render any of our weapons or methods of war impossible or obsolete? Would it change the inexorable certainty that every one of us is destined to die upon a battlefield, wherever it might be?
The nails will not change any of those things,
Majo conceded with a shallow nod.
That is true enough. But they would change how the Imperium and the other legions view us. They will misunderstand us. They will fear us. Perhaps they will even hate us.
But these are not our concerns to bear, said Khan. We serve a different purpose to the others. We do what they cannot do, or will not do. We are the firestorm, Major. The cleansing sweep of utter extermination to any who challenge the vision of this empire we are forging. We have left none alive, and we never will. There is purity in that. There is nobility in that.
Majo raised his axe, the edge clanging against Khan's. For several minutes they fought in the sand, the only sounds the ringing of blades and their low, bated breathing.
There is no nobility in being a monster.
Khan hauled his axe aside, hooking Majo's and leaving him exposed. Majo's head snapped back as Khan's fist cracked against his jaw, knocking him down to the ground.
The real problem, panted Khan, is that you still believe you are human.
Majo shook his head to clear the blurring in his vision. He cast about around him in search of his axe, reaching out when he found it. Khan's foot crashed down, pinning his hand beneath it.
He is our Primarch, Majo, said Khan. It is his blood that flows through us. He is our destiny.
He's broken,
Majo spat from his knees as he jerked his hand free.
Blood mad, tortured. And you would see us follow him in such a fate. These ships that bear us across the stars, the armor we wear, our weapons, we own none of these things. When we die, they are passed down, taken up by those that come after us. Is there nothing, then, that only we truly possess? Nothing that belongs to us? Even the choice of our fate?
A soft patter struck the sand. Khan looked down at his fist and the blood trickling from split knuckles. He snorted, a soft sound between a laugh and a sigh, and dropped his axe to the ground.
Brother, you speak as though we have ever had any choice at all.